Now, the worship of Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in Avon, New York. Reverend Mia Richardson, pastor. Welcome to worship with the Avon United Methodist Church.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship this morning. In the way of announcements, next Sunday, December 16th, is a special service. We're going to have special musicians here that are going to play harp, hammer, dulcimer, recorder, and something called the hurdy-gurdy. So it's going to be our very, very special musical service, so you should join us. Because of our special musicians, Sean put it on the calendar for Channel 8 that maybe you should videotape it and put segments of it on the news. So no promises, but that might happen. See? Another reason why I married him. So then after that service at 12:30, we're going to have two groups of people going out to sing Christmas carols to some of our members that we don't get to see super often. On December 19th, the following Wednesday, we're participating in a special community event hosted by Avon Wesleyan Church, where they're going to have community Christmas caroling at 6 o'clock in the park in the circle. And then at 7 o'clock, we're going to have a reception here in our building in Fellowship Hall. And then, of course, we're coming up on the Christmas season. On December 23rd, during that service, we're having our kids' Christmas pageant. And then on the 24th is Christmas Eve, and we'll have our services at 7:30 and 11. Is there anything else we wanted to announce? Then let us take a moment to prepare our hearts and minds to worship God.
Thank you.
And friends, let us rise in body or in spirit for our call to worship. In the beginning, we see darkness and a lot of dirt.
But where we see dirt, God sees fertile soil.
God tells us to get ready because great things are coming, and then buries our hearts in the soil.
But when we thought we were being buried, we were actually being planted.
Glorious things will spring out of the earth in God's timing.
Jesus will make us bloom toward heaven.
And let us pray. Holy God, prepare us for you.
Fill the earth around us with mercy and love, with compassion and grace.
Let us soak in those nutrients and thrive in their richness. Let what springs forth within us show the world who you are. Amen.
Today we light two candles. The first candle illuminates patience in the areas of our lives where God has caused us to wait. The second candle extends the promise of strength to all who are weary and walk in the shadows of this world. As we continue our Advent journey, may our hope be kindled as the light grows brighter. Amen.
Good morning. Today's scripture reading comes from Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. For 15 years, Emperor Tiberius had ruled that part of the world. Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was the ruler of Galilee. Herod's brother Philip was the ruler in the countries of Etoria and Trachonitis, and Lysanias was the ruler of Abilene. Annas and Caiaphas were the Jewish high priests. At that time, God spoke to Zechariah's son John, who was living in the desert. So John went along the Jordan Valley, telling the people, "Turn back to God and be baptized, then your sins will be forgiven." Isaiah the prophet wrote about John when he said, "In the desert, someone is shouting, 'Get the road ready for the Lord, make a straight path for him, fill up every valley and level every mountain and hill. Straighten the crooked paths and smooth out the rough roads. Then everyone will see the saving power of God.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Will you pray with me, please? Good and gracious God, we give you thanks for the gifts of life, the gifts of love and joy during this season, for gifts of comfort when we don't always feel that joy, for gifts of healing and mercy, for gifts of patience and serenity, for gifts of hope as we prepare our hearts for Christmas. Christ's presence changes our world, so we pray that he may indeed be born in us once again, that we may be continually born anew, and that the whole world would be reshaped and reborn as your kingdom emerges around us and within us. May your spirit stir within us and cause us to long for the day when earth will in fact be like heaven. As we lift up this prayer, we lift up our own individual prayers, both the ones that we've named out loud and the ones that we haven't, knowing that you hear all of them. We lift up these and all of our prayers in the name of Jesus, who taught us when we pray to call God our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So friends, now that we're in the season of Advent, as a reminder for any of you who didn't hear last week's sermon, I wanted to talk a little bit about the beloved hymns of our Christmas tradition, of this Christmas season. Because there's a lot of wisdom that we see in these words, and they're words that some of us sing every year that we don't really put a lot of thought into. There's some beautiful history there when you start to look into how these things came to be written. So I picked a couple that were some of my favorites to share with you in the space of these sermons. The one that I picked up for today is a classic German one. So today's sermon title, Es ist ein Rose entsprungen. I'm guessing you don't all necessarily know what that means. Thankfully, a lot of what's up there are cognates, or words that are very similar between one language and another, in this case, German and English. All right? So this is really easy. So es means it. Ist means is. Ein means a, rose means rose, and entsprungen is the funny word in this sentence, and the long one, because it's in a funny verb tense. It's the verb in this sentence. So what this sentence means in English is a rose has sprung, and this verb tense is past tense and also passive voice. Because of the way that they phrased that, there's this really beautiful air of mystery in this phrase. This is a hymn that's about two different miracles that we celebrate at Christmas. The first miracle is about something that already happened, Jesus' birth. But the second miracle that we allude to when we sing this hymn, and we're going to sing it in full right after the sermon, is what happens in us because of Jesus. What is born within us? And the English translation words make more space for that. Lo, how a rose e'er or ever blooming. So Jesus is born and springs up into the world during the Christmas season, and we celebrate that miracle. And then there's something that is always growing within us because of our relationship with Jesus. This is a delightfully German hymn. What we sing out of our hymnals, the translation, is a relatively modern translation that only goes back to 1894, whereas the German words go all the way back to the 15th century. We don't know who wrote them originally because it predates this modern era of putting your name on stuff so that you could take credit for your work. But all we know is this is a very ancient hymn. The most interesting bit of history, though, that is attached to this hymn is something that I didn't know about at all until I started researching on it this week. This hymn went through some turmoil and some changes during the Third Reich when Hitler was in power. There was a rise in white supremacy and feelings of anti-Semitism, ultimately culminating in the Holocaust. This was a time when there was very heavy censorship of what people were allowed to sing and read, and a time of extremely heavy propaganda. The Nazi Party tried to take over even things like Christmas hymns to promote a Nazi message of white supremacy and of one class being higher than another. So they attempted to take this hymn, Es ist ein Rosensprungen, and take out all of the biblical words in there and instead have a secular hymn called Uns ist ein Licht erstanden in einer dunklen Winternacht. Otherwise, there's a light rising up in a dark winter's night. This substitute Nazi-era version of the hymn was supposed to be about German nationalism and the virtues of being a parent. The reason why I share that with you is because when I read that bit of history, I was really blown away by it, because what comes from that is better good news than I'll ever be able to give you in any sermon, really. Because I tried to do more research on this Third Reich-era version of this hymn, and beyond that first line, I couldn't find anything. The reason why is after the fall of the Nazi Party, people fought really, really hard to restore hymns like this one to their biblical glory, to wipe out these oppressive messages. This is a hymn that triumphed over an era of fascism. This is a hymn that reminds us that our faith is subversive, and that the story of Jesus is one that always triumphs over oppression and tyranny. This is a story about the most wonderful things coming from the least likely origin, and that story is a threatening one to anybody who wants to take all the power in the world and give it to just a select few. That's what our faith journey is like. If our faith journey is stronger than Nazi-era Germany and can outlive that, then it can outlive anything. The good news of Jesus is something that survives and thrives and grows and blooms no matter what. I got another idea while I was looking at the words of this hymn, both in German and in English. I understood this in a very visual way, so I drew some pictures this week on PowerPoint. So, forgive my kind of hokey PowerPoint clip art drawings here, but this is the story that this hymn tells us. Sometimes in the beginning, what we see is this flat line that separates us on one side from God on the other. just this line separating us and God, and nothing we can do to cross it. We see this in John the Baptist's words when he talks about making way for God in your life, turning back from sins, getting baptized, and repenting. Those words can feel a little negative, especially because if you keep reading what John the Baptist says to the people that he's proclaiming to in this morning's gospel words, he calls that community a brood of vipers. It doesn't exactly come off as a positive message. And we don't always take it that way. When we read about John the Baptist telling us to get ready and to make way for God and to lower the mountains and raise the valleys, we think of all of the busy work that we have to do in order to accommodate God in our lives. And it's intimidating and overwhelming. On one end, it can be a message that sort of makes us feel like we're not good enough. We have to rise up to a certain level. I think it's a message that's more like this. When John the Baptist says these words, to make way for Jesus, to make a straight path for Jesus to come into this world and into our lives, something subtle happens within us. It's not a condemnation or a judgment. It's something really positive. It's an invitation. It's so subtle that you might not be able to see this, but what I drew here is just a little circle under this line. Because what we see is that this isn't a line that separates us from God. It's the horizon. It's the separation between earth on one side and sky on the other. We're on earth's side. And this horizon goes on to an unlimited potential in God. We just can't see it yet. The circle that I drew down here is the seed of the hope that God plants in us when we start following Jesus. But we don't know what's going to happen yet. This is all about an invitation to follow Jesus. And it's all about all of the things that could be within us if we let Jesus into our lives. Once you plant the seed, you start to grow roots. And these roots that we need when we plant that seed of faith and when we start following God are roots of faith, of trust in God, of love for God, and most importantly, for patience. Because it takes a really long time between that seed being planted before we see anything good coming to fruition. But there is something. These are the things that we need in order to have good things come from it. This is our work. God gives us the seed, and God gives us the fertile soil. But we need to have faith, trust, love, and patience in our lives in order for anything good to come from it. Even with the best seed that God gives us, and even with the most fertile soil, and even with the work of our root, that's not enough on its own. We get more here. These are our rain clouds. This is the community of believers around us. Everybody who goes to church with us, our friends and our family and our neighbors, the people who love us. Because what we need after we start following Jesus and after we start planting our roots in the ground is we need the support of the people around us, giving us rain to nourish this ground and to nourish the seed. So we think about the support that we get from other people. And then, most importantly, the sun, not S-U-N sun, but S-O-N sun. Jesus also nourishing this ground through his light. Through all of these gifts, through the seed of that first calling to follow Jesus, through the roots that we plant through the work of our faith, through the fertile soil that God gives us, and through the rain that was provided by people around us who love us, and by the work of the sun, eventually good things do come to fruition through us. And then it starts to look like this. The rose is blooming. This is the good news of the glory of God. And a lot of this takes a very long time to get through, between when we first decide to trust and follow God and when we see wonderful things starting to sprout up through the earth because of it. But good things do come in time. If we trust God, if we have patience and love and faith, then this is what comes to being. May it be so. Amen.
Thank you.
And friends, I invite you to join in the responsive benediction. Prepare the way.
We'll shine God's light within us.
Prepare the way.
We'll bring God's compassion wherever we go.
Prepare the way.
God's love will move through us.
And as the people of God, we say together, Amen.
This has been As Ist Ian Ross and Sprunken with Pastor Natalie Bowerman from December 9th, 2018. A rose has sprung, and it is a time of miracles as we enter the Christmas season. Natalie shares the history of the song, Lo, How a Rose Air Blooming, and how its past has added to the power of the words as well as its relevancy for us today.
You've been listening to the Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in the village of Avon. We hope that you have experienced the love of Jesus Christ during your time with us. We invite you to join us on the air weekly at 7:30 a.m. Sundays. Please visit us on the web at avonnyumc.org or call us at 226-8600. May God richly bless you.